Good morning. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from and walking through Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, what Luke just read for us. Me in Deuteronomy 6. I want to begin reading in verse 1. I just urge you, listen carefully as we hear these words of God. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear Yahweh your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, just as Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's just the setup, okay? Are we listening? That's the setup for what he wants to say. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh alone. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is what Jesus would come along later and call the great and foremost command. Yahweh, creator of heaven and earth, redeemer of Israel, he is one and there is no one else beside him. He is holy in wisdom. He is holy in power. He is holy in justice. He is holy in grace and kindness. He is holy in mercy and patience. He's holy in love. And so if Israel could see all those things, how much more can we in Jesus see all those things, right? Exponentially, so we get a greater picture of God in all those things. And so therefore, he alone is worthy. He's worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of our devotion. He alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is worthy of our love. He and with that, he's worthy of our all. It says, love him with all your heart. A heart is the Hebrew thinking was the epicenter of our being, the seat of our thinking and our feeling, the source of our affection and our will. And so you love him with all your heart. To love him with your soul, which is our whole being, our entire life, or love him with your strength. If you look up that word in a Hebrew lexicon, you're going to see some funny definitions. You'll see it means muchness, force, abundance, or exceedingly. That's what it is to love Yahweh with the, they translated it here, strength. But what it's doing is this is underscoring the first two, heart and soul. And then it encompassing any remaining resource, our time, our energy, our wealth, our property, our possessions. And the point when you look at all that is you love him with everything you have and everything you are. Sometimes we can scoff a little bit at the Message Bible, but it actually nails this in this verse. It says, love God your God with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. That's exactly the point here. And as we've observed repeatedly, this necessarily means I will love my neighbor as myself. Jesus shows over and over again these two commands, love God with your all, love your neighbor as yourself, go hand in hand. He would not separate them. We cannot separate them either. You cannot love God without loving your neighbor. And so in other words, loving God with your all is not just a life of personal piety, personal devotion and worship, though it certainly means that. I mean, of course, loving God means loving listening to his word, loving to seek him in prayer, loving to meditate on the scriptures daily, loving to worship him and sing his praises. But it doesn't just mean that. Loving God with your all means a life of justice and generosity and hospitality and serving and blessing others. Loving God means I am for the poor and for the lost and for the lonely and the hurting and the heartbroken and the helpless, and that I would even love my enemy. Loving God, again, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So love God with your all, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the beginning, this is the end, this is everything in between for our life in Christ. This is what life's all about. Again, Jesus said the great and foremost command. And so Moses rightly said, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You look at the Ten Commandments, or the ten words as they would be translated literally, the Ten Commandments. They were engraved on tablets of stone. And you think about what that would signify with engrave something on stone is to suggest permanence. Here's something that's here to stay, that's enduring, that's lasting. But the thing about the tablets of stone is you can put them in the Ark of the Covenant and you can seal it up and you can forget all about it. Because we look at Israel and we see that's exactly what they did. They forgot all about it. He says, these words I want on your heart so they're a part of you and they flow out of you. These words are engraved on our heart. And then verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And this is the point that I really want to zoom in on today. Parents, we are called by God to diligently teach our children to love Him with everything we have and everything that we are. This is our principal task. The great and foremost command is our great and foremost responsibility and priority in raising and training our children. We give them food to eat and clothes to wear and water to drink. We give them a house for shelter and comfort. You know, it's wintertime now, and so we want to fix the furnace this morning before we came so that the house was warm. And then in the summertime, I want to make sure the AC works so that the house is cool for our family. And we spend time together. We'll read together, and we'll sing together, and we'll dance together, and we'll play together, and eat meals and have fun as a family. And we want our children to get a good education. Some choose homeschool for very good reasons, and some choose public school for very good reasons. But the point is, in all of that, we love our kids, and we want them to succeed, and we want to give them everything they can to succeed in life, wanting them to grow and learn. And we choose to maybe help out, round out our kids' development through extracurricular activities, and so sports or music or whatever the other activities that's going to help them engage with others and develop other skills and other abilities as well. And then we may want them to pursue further education, go to some trade school or college or whatever it is, and we work hard to save for that. Maybe we pick up a second job to save for that, to encourage them in that. And then we want to encourage them and help them to get a well-paying job that will provide financial security and a comfortable living. And again, we want what is for their best and for their good. And so we do all these things with love for our children. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? And we could just as truly say, what will it profit my children if they gain the whole world and forfeit their own soul? And so all of these things that I just mentioned, right, can be good and a healthy part of our life in Christ, right? So I didn't list anything there that you would look at and say, man, that just a terrible, ungodly parent, right, that would encourage their children. No, like, those are all, like, good things, promising things that could just should be a part of our life in Christ or could be a part of our life in Christ. But apart from loving God with our all, in those things, we become idolaters, and we're teaching our children to become our idolaters. And as good and natural and normal as all these things are, again, our principal task, our primary task, our great and foremost priority and focus and responsibility in raising and training and leading and guiding and providing for our children has to be diligently teaching them to love God with their all. And we look at that and we recognize that's got to be an active, intentional effort. Again, Moses said, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And though our own example is absolutely critical in teaching and training our children, and I want to underscore that, our example is absolutely critical in that. Without it, they're just going to see hypocrisy or they'll see serving God as a shallow, empty ritual. And so, again, though that's true, we cannot rest on passive instruction. In other words, it's not enough just that they've seen some good things in me or that they've seen me do these things and then I brought them to Bible class and I brought them to worship and just expect them to just connect all the dots and figure it out on their own. I need to actively teach my children in word and deed, right? And so again, you teach them diligently to your children. And so I must be active and intentional to engage and involve my children in the Lord, in learning and worship and serving and loving. Moses went on to say, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And the picture seems to be, you know, when we're at home, when we're heading somewhere, right? You know, our morning routine, our bedtime routine, when you rise up, when you lie down. You know, sitting around the table, hanging out on the couch, taking a walk through your neighborhood, playing in the yard, driving in the car, camping in the woods. You know, the point is just throughout life, right? Our love of God and the priority of our love for God should permeate all these things. And so that means, in terms of intentional activity, I need to be doing things like reading the Scripture with my children, telling them Bible stories, praying with them. You know, some of that's routinely, right? Things like mealtime and things like bedtime, right? Those are those routine times for prayer that are really good. But also spontaneously, right? I need to have a spontaneity to my prayers with my children. When we just walk outside, what day was it? It was Thursday, I think. The most beautiful sunrise. I don't know if you guys saw that, but just the sky was on fire with reds and purples and pinks. And Elijah was still in bed, but Evie was up, and it's just like, look at this. This is amazing, right? Let's celebrate and thank God and praise Him for it. Or just, you know, you have one of those days, and it's just, or you experience a special blessing that's not normal. Well, let's thank God and let's praise it. Or when things aren't working out well, and you have something that went rough that day. Well, again, that's time for that spontaneous prayer. But in all that, right, praying with our children. I need to be leading them and depending on the Lord, where they lay all their fears and their concerns and their desires before His feet, right? With Evie, she's not here this morning, so she'll be the source of my stories, right? I was planning on not telling any stories because I'm planning on both my kids being here, but I didn't want to embarrass them. But, you know, Evie, with her thing, you know, she's afraid of the dark, right? The dark is just scary. And you know, well, let's pray about this. Let's just work through fear with faith and with turning to God and looking for peace in Him. And so, again, them needing to depend on the Lord, needing to lead them in thanksgiving and praise. Again, thanking Him, praising Him for just who He is, all He's done, all He does for us, all He does for the people that we love. When we've been praying for someone and then we see God's hand in them, let's give thanks and sing with them. And then all those little pop-up conversations and questions that come that come our way, you know, how can we bring those back to the Lord? Not every literal conversation, we just have to force it in there, but hopefully you understand the point is that the Lord should permeate all these things. And you see, speaking of those pop-up questions, right, we're tempted to get impatient with those things. I mean, there's times I'm like, yes. Yeah, you know, you get impatient, but you think about it, like that's a gold mine when it comes to parenting opportunities, and really so much of the treasure of being a parent. And so again, all those things that we just looked at with singing and praying and reading, all that kind of stuff, right? That comes back to this realm of our personal devotion, right? Our personal piety. But again, loving God doesn't just mean that, right? It means loving my neighbor as myself. And so I need to teach my children to invest in others. I need to be taking my children to visit the elderly. I need to be teaching them to encourage others, to serve others, to help others in our church, in our community as well. Need to teach them, you know, if they're young, how to share their toys. If they're older, how to share their stuff. I need to teach them how to love others who mistreat them. And again, how early does that start, right? I mean, you got one kid that snatches something from another kid. You know, 2 years old, you're already teaching them how to turn the other cheek and how to overcome evil with good and all those things, right, that's at the center of our life in Christ. You need to teach them about poverty and racism and human suffering and teach them to ache for that and want to do something about it. And again, all this is active teaching in word and deed. And it should be, there should be a passive element to it too, where they see these things in me. But again, Moses said, teach them diligently to your children. So this needs to all be active teaching in word and deed. And some of these are intentional activities that we want to build into our daily and weekly routines. Some of these are just things responding to life. Again, the things that happen and how we respond to that. But again, the Lord the Lord himself and the love of the Lord has to permeate, have to permeate everything. And as we talk about some of these things, recognize these aren't just extra things that we're having as parents to figure out how to cram into our already busy schedules. Pretty much everything I said are things that we should be doing as disciples already, right? I mean, these are the habits and routines and rhythms of a disciple of Christ that I've described. And so as a parent, I need to engage my children in these as well. That's the extra step, is now bringing my kids into those activities of discipleship. Or you could say it this way: these are the things that I do as a disciple and the things that I do to make disciples of my children. But when we speak to that point, right, that's what really gets to the crux of the matter, because you cannot give what you don't have. I can't teach my children to love God with their all if I don't love God with my all. Before Moses said, teach them diligently to your children, he said, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart, right? Before I'm teaching them to my children, they're on my heart. They're engraved on my heart. And if these words aren't written on my heart, they won't flow out of my heart. And instead, idolatry will flow out of my heart. And that's what I'll impart to my children. At best, they'll get an empty, shallow, dead religion, which at the end of the day isn't any better than idolatry. By God's grace, my children may still learn to love the Lord, but it will be despite of me, not because of me, right? But as we talk about all these things and think about all these things, anytime I talk about parenting, I just feel compelled to say this and make sure we're fully reminded of this. I can't make my children love the Lord, right? I can't control their hearts. While they're young, I can guard their heart. I can kind of try to direct their heart and train their heart. As they get older, I can appeal to their heart and pray for their heart. But ultimately, I can't control my children, and I can't control their hearts. I make mistakes. I've made a bunch. I keep making them, and I don't anticipate that's going to stop anytime soon. In the end, if I've done everything I could, if I've relied on God's wisdom, if I've loved the Lord with my all, and I've diligently tried to inspire the same love in my children, and after all that, if they choose not to serve the Lord, despite the strong temptation to think otherwise, I must trust God's grace and remember I cannot control their hearts. So we need to see that, right? We absolutely need to understand that. As much as Deuteronomy 6 puts a responsibility on us and calls us to step up to that responsibility, we've got to understand that point. God is a perfect father, right? If there was ever a perfect father, it's God. He's always consistent, right? I mean, that's, you know, so much of parenting, right? Just be consistent. Well, God was always consistent. He's wise beyond limit. He disciplines fairly and in perfect love. There's never been a greater father. But he's lost many children to the world, right? And so again, we've got to see that and take that truth and that reality with us as we come to Deuteronomy 6 as parents. And so parents, trust in God's grace, not in your own wisdom, not in your own ability, not in the fact that you've just checked the boxes and followed this perfectly, right? We can't control their hearts. We trust in God's grace and rely on him for everything we do. And so parents, the exhortation to you today is to renew your focus as parents around these words. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, verses 4 and 5 especially, right? Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh alone. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Renew your commitment to diligently teach these words to your children. You know, Chelsea and I entered 2019 with that as an aim, really needing a tune-up, needing a time to refocus on those things. We stepped back at the end of last year and just recognized some areas where we've been distracted. And just areas where we've just not been diligent, right? Maybe where you could say, okay, teaching these things to your children, but when he says diligently, okay, lacking in some diligence. And so that's been a big part of our focus for 2019. And life happens, right? I mean, you know, just you set down a plan and you've got a game plan and you want to work towards these things and you try to set some new routines and all stuff, and then life happens and, you know, we get this and we're all on the same side and we're all on the same team in those things. And so the point is, as we come to this text fresh and anew, let that trickle down to how we live as parents and how we act as parents. Let's renew our focus around these words. Wherever you are as a parent, whether you look at yourself and see, man, I am doing well, I'm pleasing to the Lord in this, praise God. Or whether you look at your life as a parent and say, no, I've really dropped the ball on these things, I've been distracted, I've completely lost sight of this. Wherever you are on that, let today be the day to again renew that commitment to say, Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, that's how our home will be formed. That's how our home will be run, how we will go about everything, that these words will be on our hearts. And these words will teach diligently to our children. So resolve to live out the great and foremost commandment in your heart and in your home. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them. In the world has he placed you as salt and light, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear Yahweh your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. O church, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and you may multiply greatly, just as Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hear, O church, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh alone, who has revealed himself in the person of Jesus, Messiah, Lord, Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of God, who gave himself for our sins and raised on the third day, who is now seated at the right hand of God, and who must reign until every enemy is made a footstool for your feet. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for your love that is so amazing and awesome, truly awesome. When you gave these words to Israel, they had failed you so much already. After you'd done so much for them, and yet you were patient with them and still held out hope and promise for them, and gave them such rich blessing and gave them such rich opportunity. And God, we come to these words today in such a similar place, having failed you so many times and having received such good from you. Help us all to write these words on our heart and to build our life on them, that we would recognize that you are God, you are our God, you alone, that we'll have no other gods before you, and that we will love you with everything we have, our whole heart, our soul, our strength, all we have and all that we are. May these words be on our hearts, and may we as parents diligently teach them to our children. Let's not become distracted with things that don't matter, things in this life, things that are so short-lived. But may we be rooted and grounded and anchored in you and in Jesus. Help us as a church to help one another and not nitpick each other and not criticize each other, not assume the worst of each other, but truly be on the same side and strive together for the faith of the good news, that we'd walk side by side, serving you with everything we have and fighting the real enemy. May we be united in that work, united in love, united in purpose. all things to your honor and your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll sing the song, Stand Up for Jesus. If you need our prayers or help in any way, if you're ready to begin your life with Christ, we want to help you with that as well. If there's anything we can do, please come forward. As